Ukraine security issue.
Zaporizhia city was hit twice by Russian missiles on Thursday. Seven missiles struck residential blocks in the central part of the city. Two apartment buildings were totally destroyed and dozens were damaged. According to Oleksandr Staruch, head of the Zaporizhia Region Military Administration, rescuers pulled more than 20 people, including a three-year-old child, out of the rubble. More probably remained under the rubble as rescue efforts continued. In the small hours of Thursday, the neighboring Dnipropetrovsk region and Kharkiv city also came under fire. Russian missiles destroyed and damaged dozens of apartment buildings and private houses. Local officials reported numerous civilian casualties. In the south, Russia again used Iranian-made UAVs, Shahed 136, against infrastructure facilities. According to the Ukrainian Air Force Command, nine of them were shot down. The Ukrainian armed forces continue to push Russian invaders out of the country. President Volodymyr Zelensky said that three villages in the Kherson region had been liberated since Wednesday, and more than a dozen since the 1st of October, on a total area of more than 400 square kilometers. Natalia Humanyuk, chief of the Coordinating Press Center of the South Defense Force, said on Thursday that the situation at the southern front remained very difficult, but the Ukrainian forces were on the offensive, having advanced up to 20 kilometers in some sections. 10 more bodies of civilians killed by Russian invaders have been found in the liberated towns of Svyatohirsk and Liman, Donetsk region. These add to almost 50 found in common graves, Pavlo Kirilenko, head of the Donetsk region military administration, said on Thursday. He said that since the start of the invasion in late February, the Russian army had killed about 1,000 and wounded more than 2,000 residents of the region. According to him, the Russians forced locals to dig trenches and collect dead bodies. It's impossible to identify many of them, since neighbors were not allowed to bury them, and they lay in the open for a long time. Serhiy Haidai, head of the Luhansk Region Military Administration, said on Thursday that forceful mobilization was in full swing in the occupied part of the region. Russian soldiers go from door to door, handing in summons to draft points to all men, students, elderly and visibly sick. Meanwhile, Russian men subject to the so-called partial mobilization are trying to flee their country. Forbes reported, citing the Kremlin, that since the mobilization was announced on September 21st, around 700,000 Russians had left the country for various destinations. Mikhail Shaitelman, a writer and political engineer, believes that the authorities of the countries where Russian fugitives arrive should let them in on certain conditions, lest Putin one day invade to protect Russian speakers. They shouldn't be just allowed to cross the border unconditionally, and some countries like Kazakhstan, Georgia, Finland and Norway are already considering it. Latvia and Estonia closed their borders to Russians earlier. It would be logical for the rest to keep them in camps for interned persons at the expense of the EU. Keeping them in such camps would cost the EU less than arming Ukraine to exterminate them on battlefields. Those Russian fugitives are all for Putin. They voted for him, and they either are his silent connivers or have been directly involved in the aggression against Ukraine. So Georgia, for instance, shouldn't let them come and enjoy a vacation, said Mikhail Shaitelman. Petro Kotin, president of the national nuclear energy company Energoatom, has announced that he will be the acting director general of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. According to him, the central office of the plant was transferred to Kyiv after the director general Ihor Murashov was abducted by Russian occupiers. Now all decisions concerning the plant's operation will be made in Kyiv, while current technical issues will be handled by local personnel. All issues of operation and maintenance of the power-generating units will be handled by the plant's technical personnel on agreement with the central office, namely the chief engineer Yuri Chernichuk and the first vice president and technical director of Energoatom Yuri Shaiko. We will continue to work in accordance with Ukrainian laws within the Ukrainian energy system, said Petro Kotin. He praised the plant employees who keep working literally at gunpoint and called on them not to yield to pressure of the Russian occupiers. Earlier, the president's office reacted harshly to Putin's decree on the expropriation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. Mykhailo Podolyak, advisor to the president's office head, called the move a raid a seizure and urged the international community to immediately impose severe sanctions on Russia's state company Rosatom and entire nuclear industry. The Ukrainian Foreign Ministry called on the International Atomic Energy Agency to limit cooperation in any projects with Russia that resorts to nuclear blackmail. Later this week, the IAEA president is expected to travel to Kyiv and Moscow for consultations on creating a nuclear and physical safety zone around the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant.